The Lord is King. He is robed in majesty. The refrain of our psalm response this morning again echoes this theme, an acknowledgement and gift of God that Jesus is truly King. And this feast or solemnity was really added to our liturgical calendar just in the 20th century, right after World War I, when there was still a lot of political tensions and unrest. But the church thought it would be important and very instrumental in helping people who come and pray and people of faith to think about the bigger picture of not only political power saying, these are my kingdoms, but to understand the greatness of God's kingdom and who really is Lord and King, which is Jesus. So today, this feast invites us to reflect upon this gift of God's kingdom again, knowing that Jesus has proclaimed it in the Gospels. He has revealed it even through his ways of healing, of offering forgiveness, of inviting people to know this greatness of God's love and mercy, and many other things. Even the first reading today in the book of Daniel, we hear again kind of this same motive the theme of using visions, apocalyptic literature that I talked about last week, that kind of refers to the end of times, but it also reminds us of this bigger picture of God. So the book of Daniel was still written, they think, a couple hundred years before Jesus existed, but it alludes to this powerful plan of God, that one coming in the clouds, called the Son of Man, would somehow approach the Ancient One and then receive these gifts of honor and kingship. It reminds us again that God would triumph in the end and that he would establish a kingdom that would be truly everlasting. Also to realize, especially in the Gospels, that Jesus sometimes would refer to himself as the Son of Man. So there's a great connecting link as we listen to that reading, that the Son of Man comes to receive these gifts, but he shares them. We also might ponder the question of Jesus, the question that Pilate asked Jesus, you know, what have you done? Do you belong to this world? And Jesus responds, my kingdom does not belong to this world. And thus we kind of struggle with this understanding. But maybe one thing is clear, kind of illustrated like in the simple story of a priest who was giving a homily years ago, and he was using many hand gestures, even more than I might use. And as he was doing that, he lost his homily notes, and they all went on the floor. And so he went down to pick them up, and as he was trying to put them together, he had his little cordless mic on, and he mumbled to himself, now where was I? And one member, a prisoner sitting nearby in the pew, kind of whispered, right near the end. I'm not quite there yet. But as we also acknowledge Christ the King Sunday, it is an end, but it reminds us also of a beginning. Because if we believe and profess in our faith that Jesus is not only King and Lord of the universe and of God's creation, that really his kingdom never ends. And we also even profess that in the creed. Because we believe in life everlasting, this gift of God. I think two things become, at least for me, instrumental or helpful as we ponder this mystery together, that Jesus is not only Lord, having dominion over the whole universe, but he is truly God's Son that reveals a kingdom that reminds us that we too ought to be cautious about how we can kind of almost create our own little kingdoms on this earth. And a couple examples might be, or illustrations would be, you know, sometimes in the sports arena, some teams or certain athletes can kind of create their own world and say that I am the best and I exist forever. But we know that's not true. Or to say that sometimes with people of influence to say that I can create my own kingdom because I have certain abilities or affluency. And in Jesus' eyes, again, we would say that's not true. It's not everlasting. The second thing is, as Jesus at the end of the gospel in his conversation with Pilate, We also began to understand more deeply that Jesus is the revelation of God's gift of truth. And one of the gifts of his truth is not only that it leads us to a certain accuracy that really Jesus is not only God's Son who died and came back to life for us, but he reveals the depths and the fullness of God's love and compassion and mercy. And those are gifts that, in a sense, he reveals only by himself because he is God's Son. But it also reminds us that as he bears this truth, he invites us to take it in and to allow it to also guide our lives so that we could live in this world mindful of the bigger picture and intention of God, that we would be invited to share in this eternal kingdom that is forever. Thirdly, also this week, I think this feast invites us to kind of anticipate the civil holiday that's coming, which is Thanksgiving, and to know that with faith and honoring Christ, who is King, that we appropriately offer him homage and out of obedience offer thanks. And we do so really weekly, especially as we gather to celebrate the Eucharist. And even Paul, in his readings even to Galatians, would say that we are called to dedicate ourselves to thankfulness, to sing praise to God from our hearts, from psalms and hymns and inspired songs. And whatever we do, do it in the name of Jesus Christ and give thanks to God the Father. It's our faith tradition that we do this minimal thing based on the commandments, but also the invitations of Jesus, who invites us not only to give thanks, but to receive his gifts and to know that his kingdom truly offers us also the last thing, which is the gift of salvation. A lot of other things that we might think are important or might grab our attention can't offer us that gift. They can offer us a little bit of joy, a little bit of entertainment. They might occupy our time, our energies, but in the end, they don't give us this divine gift of sharing and indwelling in the greatness of God's love, his joy, and peace. Lastly, I want to say, even as we approach Thanksgiving, that I'm very grateful, and as we come together to praise God, I also am grateful for all of you and for this parish, for the many efforts and ways that you reveal faith and guide and encourage me and guide me as well as a pastor, but also especially the way that you try to espouse God's kingdom here on earth through your many deeds of goodness, like even the projects that are going to take place during Advent and in the many ways that people reach out and help those in need. Those are truly inspiring and meaningful things and ways that express not only your faith, but your desire to acknowledge the King and know that he leads us to the truth of wisdom, goodness, and generosity. Let us praise God and let us continue to seek his kingdom and know that at the end of the day or at the end of our lives, we hope that we can hear Christ also say to us as King, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come share in the Master's joy."